If you would turn to Psalm 46, I'm going to start there. Thank God. Psalm 46, we're just going to read a couple verses out of here, but one specifically. Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Let's skip down to verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in fire. And this is the verse I want to get to. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, we've probably heard it before. Just be still, that quoted before. Be still and know that I am God. You know, we serve a big God. We serve the God of the universe. And sometimes in just the hustle and bustle, I don't know about you, but I mean, January was like, snap the fingers and it's gone. There's so much going on in the world, so much change, so many things going on. You go from day to day, and just in our own lives, we need to take time out just to be still, just to stop and just remind ourselves of who we are, that we are God's children, and that there is a God in heaven that created everything, that is over everything, that knows the thoughts and intents of every person on this earth. He knows what's going to happen. He has our best interest in mind, and he's looking out for us in the midst of all this stuff. I mean, sometimes in our life, well, not sometimes, we need to do it frequently just to remind ourselves and just to stop and get time out with God, no matter what, if it's in our car going to work, or, you know, in our room at home with the computer on playing some worship music or whatever, just to stop and just to let our minds be still. Quiet our minds, put all the junk that's been going on either at work or in our lives, wherever, and just still calm it all down and just remind ourselves that God is God and that he's with us. Just remind ourselves who we serve. Remind ourselves of the reality that there's a God, that he's with us, that he's for us, that he is our strength. He's our refuge. No matter, like these first few verses say, let's read them. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're back here in time where this was written or now. Stuff still goes on in the world. The technology may change, but things happen. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Think about that. I mean, he's saying if the earth starts to crumble, if everything we know starts to go down, if the stock markets plunge, if there's wars on this earth, if the economy falls apart, we're not saying it's going to, but doesn't matter if the mountains start literally crumbling into the sea. It says, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. It's referring to the first part. God is still our refuge and our fortress. And then we skip down to that verse where I read, just to be still and in the midst of everything, just know. Know that he is God. Not think he might be God or think maybe he's going to help us, but just a calm reassurance, just know. Know that he's our very present help. Know that he is our God. Know that he's God. He is so much higher than all this stuff. He's so much higher than the things that we may be facing at work. He's so much higher than the things that may be in this economy. He's so much higher than that. We sometimes get so caught up in what we're doing that we think that is the, I mean, and rightly so, it's our life. It's what affects us, but we can get so caught up that we think that's the sum of what's going on because it's important to us. The fact is we're a human being in the span of time. Many have been before us, and if Jesus doesn't come, many are going to be back or come after us.
God is over all of it. He sees everybody. He sees everything that's going on. He is the creator. I was looking out of my office the other day, and there's several squirrels out there. I don't know why there was, just in the in our backyard, different parts, all over, just walking around. But I looked at them, and, they stop and do their little thing and twitch their tail and everything. I looked at that, and I'm a computer engineer, but the thought came to my mind, there's no way I could build a squirrel like that. You can try to create something that's close, but that's one example of one animal that God created and engineered and did everything on, and we don't know exactly how everything works, even with that one. And there are how many thousands of different species on there. He knows how every one of them works. He designed every one of them. This whole world, when we look out, He knows how everything works. Just the magnificence of God and who that is that we serve. Sometimes that is so common that we don't stop to actually remind ourselves of who it is that we are children, what family we're really in. We've heard it so many times of what Jesus has done, and now we're right with God. Who are we right with? He is powerful. So we make all this stuff in our life, it just becomes noise that it can overwhelm the truth of the matter that we are serving this God, that these people thousands of years ago, this was written, what we are reading. That God existed before the United States of America was here, before, England was a country. All these things that have been around for a long time, quote unquote, God's been there. He was there when this was written. He was there. The sun was still in the sky. He created the sun. He created the moon. He created all these trees. These things that we think are trivial, we could almost think we've heard it so much that we start to think it's trivial. We just need to sometimes stop and be still and remind ourselves of who God is. And I just want to read, go through a few Psalms this morning. If you're ever discouraged, Psalms are a good place to read. There's some that are a little bit, you can tell some of them aren't so, quite so uplifting, but there are a lot of them that just glorify God. And we're just going to do a little bit of that this morning. Let's turn to Psalm 16. There's a lot of psalms that were written by David and then some other people, but, a lot of them were written by David. David went through a lot. He was a man after God's own heart. He put God first in his life, and there was a lot of hardships that he went through, and he would just do what we're talking about today and just have to take time out. He had people trying to kill him. I don't think anybody in this room has a price on their head and somebody's probably not trying to assassinate you right at this time. There may be, I don't know, but I don't think there is. I don't think anybody's trying to get after us. Well, this man had to take time out in the midst of such pressures as that and just look back to God and say, wait a minute, I'm serving you. In Psalm 16, we're just going to read the first 8 verses. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Now just put yourself, these words apply to us today in the midst of whatever we're going through. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We can just read these things and they can nourish our souls. We can just take time out and say, yeah, that's true for me too. I've put my trust in God. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Because God is at my right hand, not just David's, because God is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That's who I serve. This God that David was writing about is my God. And He's still here in the midst
of everything in 2009. He's my God, and I won't be moved either. Let's skip a couple Psalms to 18. We're going to read 1 through 3 here and then skip a few verses. Psalm 18, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Again, personalize these things. When you're reading this, we personalize and say, no, he is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He's my shield. Back in verse 2. Let's read all verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord, that Almighty God is these things to me. In the midst of everything, he's these things to me. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. Not in anything else. Not like back in Psalm 16, not in some other God. I'm not going to run to some other God. I'm not going to run to the security of my profession or the security of money or the security of who I know. My trust is in him. None of those other things are not bad. But we have to have them in the right place. He's God. If all these things fail us, if everybody deserted us like they did David, if our bank accounts go to zero, If we get fired from our job and it looks hopeless in our profession, he is still God. He's who we trust in. These things are just things. We serve the Almighty. And he is never fooled. He's never bewildered. He knows what's going on. He has a plan for us. So we can boldly say that he's my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies, or so shall I be saved from anything else that's pressing against me. Skip to verse 29. For by you I can run against a troop. For by my God I can leap over a wall. Not my own strength, but by him. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. He's a shield to me if I trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Keep in mind, this is a king that's saying this. He had power. He had money. He had authority. Maybe not at this point. I mean, he was still trying to go after Saul, but this is a man who was to be king. But he trusted after God. When this was written, I believe Saul was still alive. But it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Verse 33, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. God will do the same thing for us. We have a new covenant with Jesus. This is an Old Testament person. He did not have Jesus and the covenant that we have. We serve God and we are his children. He will do these things for us. We look to him. And we can just encourage ourselves and remind ourselves of these same things. In Psalm 20, verse 1, we're going to read the whole of Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. And may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Jesus is our sacrifice. Jesus took a place of all that. Verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed, and he will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. With the saving strength of his right hand. God's whole strength, he will look out for us. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots, or you could say some trust in their bank accounts. Some trust in their intelligence. Some trust in their connections. And so he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. This is just back then. That's the weapons of war they had. Some trust in their nuclear arsenal, whatever. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. I've always liked that verse. There's songs been written about it. Verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember, or we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. In the midst of everything, we can go back to the first verse. Take time out and be still. And know that he's God and trust in that name. Remind ourselves that, you know what? I'm not going to be pulled over here to trust in something else and make that my God. You know what? I heard this once, and I think it's a good definition. Your God is what determines what you do in life. That's your God. We may say we worship God, but if money determines our decisions, you could take this to extreme, but I'm saying that might have a pull over us that it shouldn't. If other people or are wanting to be liked or are wanting not to offend other people, if that determines what we do, then we've let fear of man become a God or something that determines what we do. God, the God, if he is our God, he determines what we do. Not our pocketbook, not our job, not anything specifically. We take things into consideration, but the umpire is him. He is our God. And we remind ourselves of that in times with him, just to refresh ourselves, say, God, you're God. Now, what do you want me to do? Because you've been around. You know what's really going on behind the scenes. I'm limited, but I can look to you. And I know you have the answers. Psalm 25. Let's just skip a few psalms. We're just going to take some time and just read some psalms today. We're going to put these things before us. And this is what we can do just in our times. When the life is trying to hit us one way or another, maybe it's not at all, but we just need to stay full of our trust in God. Psalm 25, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. No one who waits on you, like us. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Verse 4, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. You know, I wait on you. I go to you. When I don't know what to do, I go to you because you know what to do. We give him that place. We just go to him and remind ourselves, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm trusting in you. I'm looking to you. And he will honor that. He takes care of us. He takes care of us regardless. Whether we do everything perfect or not, he takes care of us. But it will affect our attitude and affect our outlook on life. When we go to him, we're not trying to buy anything from God by going to him, no. But when we focus back on him, it puts our perspective right. And so we can go, we don't have to, you know, when stuff's starting to weigh down on us, it's a sure sign, at least I've found in my life, when I start to get, you know, troubled, whatever, in a bad mood, you're starting to get agitated with things, it's a sure sign that I have not been looking to God. Somehow I've let I've gotten my perspective off. I just need to get back and do exactly what we're talking about today and just be quiet, get all the junk out of my mind, get all the stuff that may be rattling around, any kind of things that with relationships, whatever, you know, job, whatever, and just stop it and focus back on God. Read the Bible, whatever, spend time thanking him, put some good music on,
Just focus on him, and it refreshes us. Because you know what? We're made like that. We are made to have that relationship, that vital relationship, not just in church every day. It's just a relationship, just like any other relationship. We're made to have that. When we don't have it, it starts to weigh on us. And we're losing something that we were created to have. Our bodies were physically created to have that relationship. And so as we go back and get, it's like if we wouldn't eat, we'd get agitated after a while. We would, everyone in here, man, if we went without food for a few days, you wouldn't want to be around me. I'm sure the same would go for you. And sleep, man, we don't have sleep after a while. And then you combine the two. If we have not had sleep and we're hungry, we're all bears to be with. You don't want to be around us. Well, think about it. We're created just the same way to have a relationship with God. And if we don't come back and just remind ourselves, see, that's nourishing your spirit. That's nourishing yourself. That's feeding. I mean, church, we come. That's why we come to church. It's not some game. It's not some. We're getting built up. We have other people. We have several people in here that believe. We're reading the Bible. We're getting built up. But we don't have church every day of the week. And we have our own relationship. This is kind of like getting together with the family, but then we have our own relationship with God, and we just get in there and just look to him, and it's like sitting down at the table and eating. And just like you're hungry physically when you don't eat, when you start, your perspective starts getting down to where you feel something else is pressuring you and intending to want you to be whatever. There's several different symptoms. I mean, if you're fearful or agitated or whatever, it's a sure sign that somehow we haven't eaten spiritually somehow. We have not taken the time just to be quiet and just to remind ourselves that, wait a minute, whatever this is, this will pass. I probably won't even remember this, what's going on in the year. I'm not saying it has to be something big. It's just life. I mean, something's getting on our nerves, the kids or our spouse or job or whatever. I don't know about you, but most of the time I don't even remember those things. A day later, let alone a week or a year. I mean, unless it's something really big. And we just have to get back to say, wait a minute, this isn't important. Wait a minute, where's my perspective? And we look back to God and remind ourselves and encourage ourselves. Let's go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1. I like this verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Let's read it again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When we remind ourselves of who God is, he's my strength and my salvation. Who am I going to fear? Who am I going to fear? It'd be like, you know, when you're in elementary school and you got somebody picking on you, but you got a big brother that's bigger than everybody, that can take care of anybody, and everybody's scared of him. He's my big brother. Who am I going to be afraid of at school? If you mess with me, you mess with him. We have to get that attitude that, look, I serve God. I'm a child of God. And I'm no different than David. I have a better relationship with God than David. As far as, you know, we're in a better covenant. God will do things for us. He is there for us. He is thinking about us. So when we go, what is agitating me? Wait a minute. I have God. Something's wrong. That's not really sinking into my brain, because like David said here, the Lord's my light and my salvation. So wait a minute. Who am I going to be afraid of? What am I going to fear? Is there anything to fear if I remind myself? Now, if we start getting all this other stuff, which is what happens, it becomes bigger than God in our mind, because that's what's coming in. We hear it at work. People are complaining about whatever, or we turn it on the TV, we read the newspaper, we read the internet. Whatever we hear is pulling us away from God. So what we start to think, I should be afraid of this. I should be fearful of this. This is rational to fear like this or whatever, because I better be prepared for this. The reason we start to do that is because we have not been focusing enough on, wait a minute, we just got to come back to that. No, wait, God is my salvation in my life. Okay, then that means I don't have anything to fear.
I don't have anything to fear. Fear has no place. Perfect love casts out fear when we realize what the hands that we're in. If we realize who our big brother is, we don't have to be afraid of anything or anyone. We're just going to read a few more here. Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. I mean, David had all kinds of stuff, people after him, whatever. Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Verse 4, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. Blessed is that man. We're those people that we trust in God, and we're blessed. One more psalm, in Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days and days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted and afflicted the peoples and cast them out. So they're saying, we've heard what happened the old time. You were with those people. You were with, you cleared out these people. And skip to verse 6. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me, but you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. So he's saying, all those people that came against us, it was not our strength that brought us out. It was not our strength. It was not our bow. It was not our sword. Today you could say it's not our intelligence. It's not our people skills. It's not our wisdom with finances. Those things are fine, but our ultimate trust is in God. And see, when we don't look to God, the world, the spirit of the world that doesn't look to God, looks to themselves. And then they're proud in their accomplishments. They're proud in what they've done because they don't have God to look to say, God put me here. It was Him that established my feet. It's all about what I've done. Well, if it's all about what you've done in your accomplishments, then where are you when your accomplishments don't hold up and you're in trouble? Where are you going to turn? Same person, you. What if it's something that you can't handle? Not you. A person cannot handle. What are we going to do then? See, people look and they make themselves a god. They look to their abilities. And as long as it's going well, they can have pride. They can look down on other people, say, I've done this. Why don't you do that? But there's nothing wrong with achieving in life. We want to achieve for God. We want to put trust in Him, not in our abilities. We look to Him. We remind ourselves, like that first verse we read, we be still and know that He is God. And no matter how smart, how good any one of us is, we are not Him. And we are servants of Him. We are in a covenant with Him, and if we follow Him, we will be blessed. But we need to, it's so tempting to start getting into other stuff of life and get taken away from it and make it the center and make it about that. And then it's nothing wrong with feeling good about ourselves for accomplishing stuff. That comes from God. It's just the balance of the whole thing. We feel good because we've done it in His honor, and we know who we really are. Owe everything to. I mean, how many of us in this room is keeping our heart beating right now? Tell me, what gifts do we, natural gifts that we have that we put there? We're responsible for our education and what we do with it, of course, but ultimately we look to Him. And when we come to a situation then that we don't know how to handle, just like David was no idiot.
The man, obviously, he led a nation. He had gifts. He had natural talents. He must have had people skills. He must have had, you know, abilities. But God looked on the heart when he was just a shepherd boy, and he said, you're going to be king. David looked at God and trusted him. And it's apparent through his life. He wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. He made big mistakes. But he looked at God. And he looked at him. And every one of us, we take time out to look and remind ourselves, where are we going? Is it the perspective? Is it God's perspective? Am I trusting him? Then when something happens, or even we're just feeling stressed out, we're not looking to ourselves then. We're looking, wait a minute. I'm trusting him. I'm looking to him. And we can run to him. It takes a certain amount of humility to do that. That's the stumbling. Jesus is the stumbling block that keeps people from God a lot. They think somehow they don't want to bow the knee to the Almighty. He is God. Everyone on the face of the earth will admit it at one point or another. He's the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to be firmly established in the fact that I can't do it myself and that I'm under his wing. He's the one. I don't care who you are on the face of the earth. No person is anything compared to the Almighty, King of the universe, who created everything. And we can be secure in the fact, I don't care what everybody else, I don't care what the world's saying that, you know, how to solve everything. We can be firmly established that, wait a minute, I know him. I know who I serve. I know him. All these things that I've just read, they applied 2,000 years ago, whatever, they still apply today. Their issues are different than we face today, but the same God's still there. And that's who we serve. That's who we serve. We walk with him. We stay under his wing. And then I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens in 2009, 2000. I don't care if we go into an economy that's worse than the Great Depression. Doesn't matter. We're going to be taken care of because God Almighty is with us. And he is God. That simple fact. I serve a God. I don't have to be afraid. Who am I going to fear? It's him. It's him. He's who I'm trusting in. Thank God. Thank God. Lord, we just bless you. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you for the simple knowledge that you are Lord. Lord, anything that's been troubling us, that maybe we've gotten back into that place where we've been taking some of the load, where we've been thinking we have to make it happen, where we think that it's up to us and comparing ourselves with the people around us instead of looking at you. Lord, let's just lay that stuff down right now. Lord, we just put that behind us and we come back to the simplicity that you are God, that we're not, that we don't have to be God in our lives, that we don't have to control everything in our lives, that you are Lord. And that simple knowledge, like a child, we come to you and just thank you, honor you, put our trust in you. Boldly say that you're our strength, you're our refuge, that some may trust in chariots, some may trust in horses, some may trust in other things, but we trust in you. We're your people. Oh, we just thank you. Let's just be quiet before God. Let's just take a moment just to be still and just to acknowledge him. Thank you, Lord. Just in that sweet presence of the Almighty Creator, that we were created to just to talk with, to walk with, to soak up that presence. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for ministering to every heart right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God.
Lord, no one can take your place. No one can give us what you give us. No one, you are life. You are the creator of life. Life flows from you. We were created to soak up that life. Thank you, God, that we have the relationship we do with you. Thank you for just strengthening us right now. Thank you, Lord, that we are strong in you. That we can boldly say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? Thank God. We can go about by like a little child with you, humbled in your presence, knowing that you're going to take care of us, that we don't have to know everything, that you know everything. And we just thank you, God. It's so good to be free in you. It's just so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you go before us. You order our steps this week, that you're ordering our steps, that you're taking care of situations that we don't know how to take care of. You're moving behind the scenes. You're taking care of them, that we don't have to stress about those things. We don't have to worry about how everything's going to work out. You're God. We're your children. We just thank you for working this week in situations. We thank you for working behind the scenes, working with people's hearts. We thank you that we have favor that surrounds us as with a shield. We thank you that you're our rampart. You're our defense. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to make ourselves look good because you go before and you level the mountains. You bring up the valleys. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. It's so good to know you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, God is good.